Are you all introduced to your neighbors? Do you know who's sitting behind you? No. Everybody stand and introduce yourself to the people around you. Say good morning. I think today it's so cold out. Today's the day for hugs, so you can get warmth from your neighbor. Yeah, if you need warmth, just close in on the aisles. It's nice to have you here. It's important that we thank God for His many blessings, and we have been blessed. This week, we get so insulated up here on the lake, we can bury our heads in the sand. But this week, the world lost a wonderful leader in Nelson Mandela. And he was an Anglican, 27 years in jail, came out loving his jailers. When he was installed as president of South Africa, his jailers sat in the front row, and he had no malice toward them at all. In South Africa, 80% are Christian, Muslim, or Jewish. But 20% of the people are ancestral worshipers, and the ancestral worshipers have something they called Mbutu. And Mbutu is a word for reconciliation. The ancestral worshipers, and this is talked about amongst the whole culture, they believe they're all interconnected with each other, that there's all attachments and with every living being and every living creature. And part of that Mbutu, the connection Nelson Mandela made as part of his own, and so he found it impossible to carry anger and malice toward those who imprisoned him. So it was a wonderful leader. When they compared him not only to Gandhi, some people thought he was even more of a peacemaker than Gandhi because of the political situation. So, I mean, never talking one about one of the great people in all of history that passed away. So, if you get a chance to read about him or study, you probably would learn a few things. Anyway, keep all those people that travel there, keep them in your prayers, okay? A couple other items. You can see Trandals are having an open house down in Cambridge. If you want to drive those slippery roads, just go on down to Cambridge. Jelly is going to be for sale today, and they're going to wrap them in Christmas wrapping, so if you need some quick presents. They keep putting, Sherry Johnson isn't here, they keep putting these missing books, Nicholas Sparks. She must really love those books. If you have anybody who got them, why don't you get them to her, okay? She's not here, so don't say I said anything. And poinsettias. Our church council meets this afternoon, and last year when we were putting the budget together, there were a few people that they didn't like that the altar care who put this beautiful place together spent a few more dollars on poinsettias. I mean, can you imagine half a tree here? So, anyway. Do the altar care a favor and sign up for a poinsettia, okay? And that's my plea for you and my request. Thanks for playing the music. It's nice having you here. Let's warm up with a prayer. Oh, Lord, we need your warmth today. We need your joy. We need your peace. And today, on this second Sunday of Advent, we need hope in our lives. hope for a good future, hope for our children and grandchildren, hope for a country that seeks to serve rather than take. Hope for our futures. Hope for the day when we can join you in your heavenly kingdom. And so, send us hope. You have sent us Jesus who brings hope. Help us to keep our eyes on his coming again. Hope in the future. Bless us now with your Spirit, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Our opening hymn is Little Drummer Boy. Please join us, the words are in your bulletin.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, our life, our mercy, our might.
Amen.
Let's take a moment for quiet reflection as we consider our sinfulness. Let us confess together, Great and Holy One, in this time of waning daylight, we confess the shadows of sin in our lives. We build ourselves up at the expense of others. We rely on our own efforts to make our lives secure. Yet you, O Lord, are the potter, and we are the clay. Come to restore us in your image, remake us into your people, and rebuild what sin has broken, that we and the whole creation may rejoice. Amen. Fear not, people of God. The Almighty has done great things for us. God casts away our sin from us and makes us a new creation. In Jesus Christ, God comes to set you free. Take heart in the tender compassion of our God.
Amen.
From the one who is and who was and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, the first fruits of the resurrection, grace and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's join in the prayer of the day. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to to prepare the way for your only Son. By his coming, give us strength in our conflicts and shed light on our path through the darkness of this world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
First reading today is from Isaiah chapter 11 verses 1 through 10. In today's reading, the prophet describes the ideal ruler who will come in the future as a green shoot springing from a dead stump, David's royal line of Jesse, David's father. Gifted by the Spirit, this Messiah will seek justice for the poor, and the reign of this monarch will be experienced as paradise regained. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nation shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Today's psalm is number 72, verses 1 through 7 and 18 through 19. The refrain is, may the righteousness flourish, let there be an abundance of peace. I ask that you read the darkened print, and where you see the R, please read the refrain. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son.
That he may rule your people righteously, and the poor with justice.
That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people, and the hills in righteousness.
Let him defend the needy among the people, rescue the poor, and crush the oppressor. May the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace.
May he live as long as the sun and moon endure, from one generation to another. In his time may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more. Blessed are you, Lord God, the God of Israel. You alone do wondrous deeds. And blessed be your glorious name forever, and may all the earth be filled with your glory. Amen. Amen.
May the righteous flourish,
let there be an abundance of peace. Here end the readings. Please stand for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel, the second Sunday of Advent, is found in the third chapter of St. Matthew. Just before Jesus begins his public ministry, John the Baptizer appears, calling people to mend their ways and speaking of a powerful one who is to come. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, "Go Tell It on the Mountain."
Silent flock by night, behold throughout
thank you. I remember when I first interviewed here 13 years ago, Lee Krieger was on the call committee. She only had one question. Would you allow us to sing Christmas songs during Advent, Pastor Reisenen? I said, I wish we could sing them all year long. Today we're going to talk about hope. We light the hope candle, the second candle on the Advent wreath. I heard a radio interview. There was a Nazi concentration camp survivor named Gerda Weissmann recalling an episode one spring when she and her fellow concentration camp inmates stood for a roll call for hours on, nearly collapsing with hunger and fatigue. And she said that those ladies standing there in that concentration camp noticed in the corner of that bleak, horrid, gray place that there was a broken concrete piece and in a corner, and a flower had poked its way out of the wall. She said they just concentrated on that flower, and every day thousands of feet would pass by there and step over that wall so that they wouldn't take that flower away. No wonder they didn't step on the flower. That tiny flower poking through represented hope, the only hope they had in beauty to all those women in the concentration camps. Isaiah, the prophet that we read in our first lesson today, knew what those women felt. The year was about 700 B.C. Jews had been fighting for four decades against the Assyrians, and occasionally the Egyptians would come in for a campaign or two. And their will to resist the enemies, Israel's will, was nearly depleted. And they were living through what has been called the first Holocaust of the Jews, 700 year B.C. It occurred between 740 and 699. A historian, Dr. Bill Self, describes this awful time like this. He says, five times during these 40 years did the Assyrian army, the vast and superior Assyrian army, stampede through the hill country of Israel, working terror and destruction wherever it went, with no regard for anyone's culture, with no regard for anyone's religion, with no regard for anyone else's life. They came like a scorpion plague, devouring everything and everyone in their path. Over and over and over, the people of Judah had been ravaged. The horrid sounds of war were ever familiar. The cries of pain seldom ceased. Who could plant a field and have any hope that it would survive to the harvest? Who could bear a child with any confidence that it would reach maturity? It was a horrible 40 years, those years in which Isaiah lived. But Isaiah refused to give in despite the despair of his time. Isaiah still managed to have hope in God. His hope in God never failed. And under his leadership and God's Holy Spirit, Isaiah was able to write what we have today. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. Isaiah was prophesying here the coming of the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God. All around him, things appeared like, desolate, like there was no hope, without promise. These people were in pain, and they were tired of fighting. The reign of Israel's greatest king, King David, who was the son of Jesse, that was a distant memory. Jesse lived about 300 years before, 1000 B.C., but Isaiah says, like Gerda Weissman's flower poking its head through the concrete, this stump of Jesse, says Isaiah, a shoot will appear out of that stump, and a new tree will emerge bearing much fruit, and that's Jesus, the Messiah, That's what our lesson is about. And then he continues. He says, when that day comes, the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says Isaiah, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. And I might add, for Carol Bakken's sake, and for a reminder to Wally, that dogs will be there too in that day. What a beautiful message. On that day, the lion will lie down with the lamb. This is one of the great statements of hope in all of literature. I hope you pay attention to it. At this time of the year, when we celebrate the birth of that shoot from the stump of David, Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the Savior King, these words are so precious. They're as precious to our ears as they were to the people in Israel's time. So let's talk a little bit about hope. What's this business of hope? We talk about, we kind of use and toss that word around. You know, we have hope that that the Vikings win this afternoon. Nah, sorry. I mean, that's the kind of thing we talk about, hope. I hope I get the right thing for Christmas. But this is hope that is based on our faith in God. When the world is dumping on you, when you don't know where you turn, when you are so depressed you're curled up on the couch and you can't even get off, where's your hope? That's the hope that Isaiah is talking about, because these were a people that had been beaten and run over time and time again. Hope is based on our faith in God. That's what this text is telling us. There's no other foundation for hope in the world, really. Economic systems will crumble. Governments will rise and fall. I tell my kids, you know, Karen and I love you and we'll do anything for you, but I'm a Finlander. I only have so much, you know. I ain't got it all. Our hope has to be in God, that he will watch over you and take care of you, no matter what the world throws your way. Children understand that far better than we do, I think. Psychiatrist Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, when she toured the children's barracks in one of those German death camps, she'd expected to see symbols of fear and incredible cruelty drawn on those walls. But instead, you know what she found? She found pictures of butterflies, covered with drawings of butterflies, a universal symbol of hope and joy. Where does that hope come from when life is tough? Only from our hope in God. How else could Isaiah write, the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them? How could he write that? Times were tough for those folks. There's no scientific evidence that such faith would be rewarded. There's nothing in the future that would tell him, that would assure him that this would happen, but he wrote it. There's no philosophical optimism that could justify what Isaiah's writing here. It's only faith in a righteous and an omnipotent God, a God who loves us. That's the bottom line, huh? Have you ever seen where hope dies? There's nothing sadder than when hope dies. We resign ourselves to that, to a place where there is no hope. There's no promise of God. There's no faith in God. The atheist is not nearly as dead in his faith as the person who is who's given up trying, who's given up on life. There's a great temptation at this time of the year to give up on God in a society like ours. I remember 7, 8, 9 years ago being asked to do a funeral for not one of our members up at Sorensen Root. When I walked into that funeral home, when I walked into the doors where all this big family was gathered, there was absolutely no hope in the room. It had been sucked dry. There was crying and wailing and loss and hurt and pain and no answers. And just loss, deep, deep loss. It was like the Death Eaters in the Harry Potter movie sucking the life right out of that room. There was no hope. And nothing I could say could comfort these people who were crying the loss of their sister. I talked to one of the sisters afterwards. There were like 10 or 11 kids in the family. She looked maybe 50 or 60 years old. She was only 34. I asked her, where's the hope? She says, it hurts too much to hope. It hurts too much to hope. That's how much pain this family was in. I hope you never get to the point where it hurts too much to hope, because then you're in a sad, sad place. I suspect, though, that some of you know what this gal was talking about. It's a common knowledge. It's common knowledge in the medical community that the holidays, you'll find a sharp increase in cases of depression, primarily due to people's unmet expectations for the season. Huh? There's no deeper depression than that experienced by a person who can't hope, who's got no hope. You know what I'm talking about? Hope is what Christmas is all about. That's why these words from Isaiah thrill our hearts as we read them every Advent season. In the midst of the Holocaust, in the midst of societal despair and devastation, that's the situation Isaiah finds himself. He's led by God's Spirit. He dares to envision a day when God's reign will be over all things everywhere. He says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. He's describing hundreds of years in advance the coming of Jesus. A Messiah is going to come, and righteousness will reign triumphant forever and ever and ever. That's what Isaiah is writing about here. That's what we have to remind ourselves this year, in the midst of the cold and the snow and all the stuff going on outside. I read a book called A Touch of Wonder by Arthur Gordon. He tells about a man he met who was a skydiver until his 19th jump. His main chute didn't open fully. He got twisted around the security, the little chute wrapped around, and they thought he was traveling 60 miles an hour when he fell into a dry lake. Huh? Doctors thought that this broken remnant of a man would never leave the hospital bed. They told him, you're done, basically. You'll never walk again. And that sent him into a deep despair. But in that hospital, he had frequent visits from another patient. It was a man whose spinal cord had been severed in an automobile accident. This man would never walk. He would never even be able to move his finger. But he was always cheerful, this guy. This is what he said in the book. I certainly don't recommend my situation to anyone. That's what he'd say. And yet I can read, I can listen to music, I can talk to people. And yet, the author writes, those words, and yet, shift the focus from what has been lost to what remains and to what may still be gained. They gave such hope and determination to the skydiver that he came through his ordeal and today walks without a limp. This guy who had the broken backbone brought hope. You see, in a world of pain, in a world of defeat, in a world where might often makes right, and the worst often crowds out the best, the Bethlehem babe is God's and yet. All this stuff might be happening out here, and yet God loves you. And yet God sends a son to give us hope. Herod, as cruel as he was on the throne of Judea, Caesar Augustus, who's deified, thought to be God, still extending the might of the Roman Empire in Jesus' day. Mary and Joseph make their way slowly to Bethlehem, poor as church mice. And yet Herod and Caesar are now just curiosities on dusty books where Jesus reigns. And one day his kingdom will be made manifest, says Isaiah. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. That's what Christmas is all about. So enjoy the lights. Enjoy the food, the cookies, the gifts, the love of family and friends. But I hope you never lose sight of the hope that's promised to us at Christmas. There's going to come a time when you're going to be down, when you're going through your own times of travail, when your own times of depression and hurt and loss and your expectations aren't met. That'll be the time when you'll need to lift your eyes from your sorrow to your Savior. That'll be the time when your Savior will come and will give you hope, because the day is not yet done. The promise is there. He'll turn your misery to that manger of love, and you'll find salvation. So what is hope? A few things I found. Hope is such a marvelous thing. It bends, it twists, it sometimes hides, but rarely does it break. It sustains us when nothing else can. It gives us reason to continue and courage to move ahead when we tell ourselves we'd rather give in. Hope puts a smile on your face when the heart cannot manage. Hope puts our feet on the path when our eyes cannot see it. Hope moves us to act when our souls are confused of the direction. Hope is a wonderful thing, something to be cherished and nurtured, and something that will refresh us in return. And it can be found in each of us, and it can bring light into the darkest of places. Never lose hope. Bottom line, hope is based on our faith in God. That's the first thing. God is a loving God who watches over his children. He cares for us. Hope is a flower breaking through a slab of concrete. Hope is a shoot coming up from the stump of Jesse. Nothing is sadder than when hope dies. If you quit trusting God, where will you turn? If you quit trusting God, where will you turn? Hope is what Christmas is all about. So, this Advent season, 4 Sundays, Christmas season, 12 days, we're invited to turn our eyes to the babe who was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the one who's foretold by Isaiah in the midst of the ruins of his time. There is hope. Where God is, hope never dies. So carry God with you. That's what our lesson says today. And P.S., Wally, remember, dogs go to heaven. Amen. May God be with us these days. Amen. Let's join in singing Silent Night, Holy Night 281, and we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. Thank you. Please rise. Let us join together in the offertory prayer on the bottom of page 5. Let us pray. God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In hope and anticipation, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Renew us in the covenant of your Son, O Holy One, and revive us by the outpouring of your Spirit, who leads us to wisdom, understanding, and faithfulness in you. Hear us, O God. Establish harmony in all creation, that all living things may work according to your loving and generous purpose. Fill the earth with your goodness and glory. Hear us, O God. Send your Spirit to those who hold power and authority among the nations. Lead them to tend to those who are poor and meek with your righteousness and justice. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
By your word and your people, encourage and give heart to those who have lost hope in the face of depression, disease, and death. Especially lift up before you Darwin, Eileen, Ron Hass, Regina Johnson, Dean Newman, and all of those in our lives who need your healing touch and need a sign of hope. Give them faith in your promises. Hear us, O God. Shape this community of faith into a place of welcome and support for all people. Feed and strengthen us by your gifts of grace, that we may share them with others. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for people who have been with us in our lives, people who have been models of faith and justice and hope and understanding. We thank you for people like Nelson Mandela. We thank you for those who served in World War II, who died in Pearl Harbor. We thank you for loved ones who are with us today. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the promise of hope that comes at Christmas. Fill us always with hope. You have gathered the saints into your holy and eternal presence. Make us steadfast in the faith until we are all made one in your new creation. Hear us, O God. Almighty God, we entrust to you all for whom we pray, confident that you will fulfill your promises through Christ our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The God of hope, through Christ our peace, in the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Closing hymn is Joy to the World.
Thank you for praising us. God bless.